Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How are you doing, Cody?
Doing great.
Good to be here. Back in the office with us.
That's right.
It's great to have you here. We're also joined by Chris Jensen. Chris, you live here now.
I live here
now.
You are
no longer a guest from Portland.
No. Now I'm a guest from down the street.
That's right. And we've got Tracy here producing us, making us stay on track. I appreciate that. And Cody, what's today's podcast topic?
The title is Don't Be a Cowardly Manager.
A cowardly manager. You know, coward is a strong word, even in this day and age of really bad words, making it into songs and television and movies. Telling someone they're being a coward is pretty serious. And that's why the podcast today is really important. And what it's really about is what I would call interpersonal courage, something that is really lacking in most organizations, and for that matter, society. Companies and the people who work in them suffer when people can't speak to one another in truth. And we can all relate to times when we've allowed cowardice to prevent us from confronting or challenging or exhorting one of our employees or colleagues to grow and improve and become the best version of themselves. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is how to be a courageous manager. And we're talking about interpersonal courage.
I want to remind people that we do this week by week, and almost because we experience things in the world of work or in our own organizations that force us to come to these topics and say, how do we need to exhort other people to participate in this? And so we've had experiences just this week where we're like, man, we whiffed on some, we were better at other experiences where we weren't being quite as cowardly. And it's so necessary.
I just got off the phone with an executive from a company that's really well known, mm-hmm. who was talking about how they're trying to get people to be less confrontive. And it was the craziest thing.
Less confrontive?
Yes. And I wasn't in a position to confront them because that wasn't the purpose of the call. It would have been awkward and inappropriate. But I was just thinking how this is what society says, is let's not confront one another.
Right.
Let's just be nice and affirm one another. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy that we think that leads to better results. It is less uncomfortable.
Right.
But when we're a manager and we can't confront somebody, we leave them less than they are.
That's right.
And so this happened 10 minutes ago.
That's wild.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, I'm about to do a podcast about this.
But honestly, I'm not sure why you're so surprised, because we see this over and over and over again. And we've hit around this topic before. Like, there's stuff about truth and telling the kind truth in the midst of all of this. The topics, don't be a cowardly manager, doesn't mean go and be a frustrated, you know, angry manager. Yeah. It just means that we need to have, like, the word you use, Pat, interpersonal courage. That's the key here for me, is that we need more people with interpersonal courage to go and say the kind truth to others, and especially in managerial roles.
Right. Again, like you said, these topics come from our own experiences, and we've had some great examples here in the past couple of days. And I think that's why we feel so strongly about this, is because we really try to live this and we see the benefits of it.
Well, Chris, just yesterday, tell the story that we have teed up. Just yesterday, you were in a position where You had to go there with someone.
Oh, yeah, we had.
Well, in fact, and I just want to say, you're world class at this, Chris. Cody, you're really good at it. I'm less good than both of you guys.
So I'm world class and he's just good. That's your
really
point.
Good.
Okay, great.
I'm good at best. But I really do think it's a rarity. And yet we try to practice this. You guys inspire me to do this. But just yesterday, we were frustrated with one of our colleagues.
Yep. And we talked about it, and I called him up right after our meeting. We had a meeting and...
Yeah, we were standing around going, that frustrated us that this guy did that.
Yep.
Chris said, I'm going to call him. And Cody, you said what?
I said, no, you should call him right now. And you're like, I'm going to. And I said, no, I mean like right now.
Like
and
right
you're
now. Like,
why are you still standing here?
I said, why are you still standing here?
and you did.
And I did. And then got his voicemail. He called me right back and he said, you know what? As soon as I saw your phone call, I knew exactly what it was about. And I just told him, I said, let me just start with what frustrated me. And then I'm sure there's a good rationale for why you showed up this way. But let me just tell you how I felt, what I saw, and what I think the problem was. And I just laid it out for him. And I said, you're somebody I care about. You're influential. What you do matters. And I have to tell you this. And maybe there's a good reason. And we had a great conversation.
And within hours, by the time I got home, I had an email from him saying, hey, I'm really sorry. I know how this came across. I didn't mean it that way. I don't want to do this kind of stuff. And I went from being frustrated with him to admiring him more than I did before, all because you had the courage to step up and say, you frustrated me and I need to tell you why.
And I think our relationship got closer.
Totally.
He is far more clear on how he can contribute, actually how he can better lead within the practice his own peers. But our relationship, I think, is a little bit closer because he was hearing me be totally honest with him.
Right. I think a little bit closer is definitely downplaying it. It has to be because you confronted him. He acknowledged it. He apologized, but he also explained why. And you were gracious about it and said, oh, now I understand. That has to grow the relationship.
Totally.
And I think there's two things going on here. One, it was your willingness to have interpersonal courage. The other thing was the speed at which you had this conversation. I mean, we went through like what makes a cowardly manager? We'll go into that a little bit more, but sometimes it's, you just don't do it right away. You let it go. And it's like an email that you didn't answer the day you got it. And then 3 days later, you're like, well, man, if I answer it now, it's going to seem like a bigger deal or, and then a week later, you still haven't answered the email and now it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Right. Versus calling someone right out of the gate. And Pat, we'll talk about our situation, which was you and I have had two really difficult conversations this week.
In the last three days.
And we left the first one and I was still replaying it in bed at night while I'm trying to get a toddler newborn back down to sleep. And I was like, I remember laying in bed and going, I still need to talk to Pat. I think it's not done yet. And I was so tempted to just go, you know what, let me just go in on Monday and we'll see how it goes.
Maybe we won't have to talk about it at all.
Right. And instead, to force myself to have interpersonal courage and to force myself to have the conversation, I sent an email at 3:30 and said, hey, we need to talk.
Right.
And just so that when I got to work, I didn't wimp out.
The funny thing is when I got to work, I said to Amy, did you see the Cody note? We got to talk to Cody when he gets in.
Right.
And she's like, oh yeah, first thing.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I get along really well. We work very closely together, but we were frustrated at each other. We worked through it. Our relationship is stronger. I went home and I said to Laura, oh, I had a great talk with Cody. Everything's great.
Right.
And I said the same thing to Lindsay.
Had we not done that, our relationship would have taken a step backward and would have come down and it would have been so uncomfortable.
You've said this. This is probably one of the phrases that you say that I love the most. When I heard it, when I first got here, said,
I can't wait to hear this. I have no idea what you're going to say.
It's around conflict. When you talk about the five dysfunctions and you say, if you don't have conflict around ideas or circumstances or a situation, it ferments into conflict around people.
Yeah.
And I have seen that be true so often. Like, think about the situation with Chris. If you had let that fester even one more day, or you and I, we didn't have that conversation, I could have come to work yesterday and I knew something would be off.
Yeah. Right.
And instead, it would have created a relational dynamic that's way harder to overcome than a tough conversation.
Right.
Right.
You know, I think we should change the title of this, which is okay to do that, to just don't be a coward. Mm. Because it's about being a teammate as well as being a manager.
Right.
That's right.
It's just like we are, and I think we have to understand it's cowardly not to tell people the truth.
Yeah.
Especially people you're in relationship with. Cody, we had a conversation today about a friend of ours who we were like, we disagree with them on something. And the thing that frustrates it the most is not that we disagree, is that they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We know that if we sat down and talked to them about it, they would not be open to that.
Yeah.
And we were like, that's not courage.
Right. Yeah.
That's not courage.
Right.
And I know that that's natural.
Totally.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
The problem is when we do that, relationships suffer and productivity suffers and truth suffers. Kristen, I want to know something. So you're great at this.
Okay.
You're like, I'm going to call him right now. So tell us, we're going to dissect your brain.
Yep.
And tell us what goes through your mind when that's happening. Like, do you have fear and do you go, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway?
I do. And actually, speed is an important part for me because I know if I do it right now, I'm in the most vulnerable state. I could be wrong. So the faster I do it, the more open I am to the possibility that I'm wrong. I haven't let a story start to form around my idea about this person because I always find every time I come later, that person hears me 10 times harder than they should be hearing me. Mm-hmm. And so that when I go fast, then I'm like, I'm just going to get it all out right now.
Right.
It's going to be uncomfortable. And I always tell them, and I said this to my colleague, I was like, I could have totally misunderstood you. I'm just going to tell you how I felt and then let's just talk through it. I'm actually in the most open state the faster I go. So it's for me, it's just like, let's just dive into this.
Do it
right
fast.
Now.
You know, it's interesting. I remember hearing this and it surprised me. Somebody was once saying about whether you should spank your kids, you know, that we go into often to a liberal arts conversation here. And they said, if you spank your kids, only do it when you're angry and do it right away.
Right away.
And I used to think, oh no, I thought it was like, be calm, son, I'm going to spank you. And they said, no, when you do that, it's cold and they think you're creepy.
Right.
But they understand that like you might've just been angry in that moment. You swatted them on the bottom and they're like, oh, I connect that with my dad being frustrated as right. opposed to coldly. And when you wait 2 weeks and go, I need to talk to you. 2 weeks ago, you did this.
Right.
I didn't. And you're no longer frustrated. You're just telling them. They're like, so what have you been thinking for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's an important part.
That's not an endorsement for spanking your kids.
Right.
It's saying, though, that be human
right.
rather than cold.
And one of the things you said that resonated so much with me is the narratives that you create in your own head. The longer right. you yeah. wait, like even Pat, I waited 24 more hours to talk to you. And I know I played that conversation over in my head so many times that by the time I got here, like I had already created something that wasn't there, you know? Right. And so the speed, I love that reason to do it quickly. And the other thing that occurred to me is I love that you said, don't be a coward, because it does apply in families and in personal lives and friendships. But also it's important to know that the choice is not, it's not always cowardly in its intent, right? It's
right.
like sometimes it can be a lack of courage. Sometimes it can be you think you're too busy or you're too lazy to have that, or you're just a little afraid, you know?
I think though, what it usually comes down to is, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And so you find a reason to say, I'm too busy.
And
I'm
all of those are self-preservation, right?
Yes,
it's like, oh, exactly. Well, I'm too tired. That would cost too much energy for me.
Well,
to do
it's
that.
Like the example of the CEO I worked with once who wanted to fire one of his direct reports. I've told this story probably on a podcast. And he didn't tell him. He just went out and hired somebody else to do the job. And then when this guy called him to make an appointment to talk about why you hired somebody else with the same title, he avoided talking to him for weeks.
Oh my gosh.
The guy finally just quit.
Yeah.
Now, call it what you want. The guy's a coward.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And it's like, why do you think that's okay? And I'm sure he's like, well, I'd have all these things to. You have a responsibility to do that and you just don't want to deal with the downside, which is uncomfortable.
Right. I think the discomfort thing is very real because I do feel like butterflies in my stomach and a little bit of discomfort when I go into it. But there's a muscle memory. I've done this enough times where I just know like jumping into that discomfort quickly is going to produce a better outcome. And it's just, I always tell leaders and clients that I've worked with over the years, when it comes to these uncomfortable conversations, there's no shallow end. You can't like ease into it. If you want to get good at it,
dive into the pool.
You just got to dive into the deep end and just get used to jumping into it.
And you know, the best relationships I have with people at work and in life are the people that I go there with. And why it's so painful when I know somebody doesn't want to talk about something.
Yeah.
And now, sometimes it's in the moment. Sometimes it's just like, they don't want to talk about it at all.
Right.
And I always feel like, gosh, it's really hard. Not the relationship is going to suffer.
Yeah, it will.
I think the thing to keep in mind too, is like that story sounds crazy. You know, that someone hired someone and didn't want to talk to them. But I bet if you brought that down to any individual level, how many people are listening to this or how many examples do I have in my own life where I just didn't want to have that conversation and I let it fester and the person on the other side suffered as a result? And no, they're not going to quit and not be my friend, or they're not going to leave and go to another organization sometimes. But I think everyone can relate to opting into the cowardly way in a circumstance or two because you didn't have the interpersonal courage to do something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's such bad economics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the cost of not doing it is so much higher than the interpersonal cost of doing it. But we often don't do anything that has interpersonal cost.
I do think busyness and maybe laziness factors in. I do think people genuinely feel like, gosh, I don't want to be mean. And this is something you've always said is like cowards are not kind, like not telling somebody the truth.
That's mean. Not,
that's mean.
That's what we should start saying. Oh, you feel that way about them and you didn't tell them? You're mean.
Right, exactly. That's how this is how I felt when I used to be 350 pounds. And I remember I went to the doctors and I didn't realize they had been tracking my weight going up for years. I saw this chart and I was like, why didn't you say anything? And this is where she's not my manager, but I guess in one way, she's kind of my manager. And I was just so hurt by it. Like this doctor who's been seeing me for years never once until it became a big deal, ever had the courage to say, let's have an uncomfortable conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, this happened in my house the other day, my 17-year-old. So during, you know, he's a great kid too. He's wonderful. I love all of my boys equally, but Casey's a great kid.
Yeah.
But during COVID, you know, we all backed off a little bit. You know, it was like, what'd you do today? I played Call of Duty. Good for you, right, son. Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like video games, you know, because exactly. It's like they had nothing else to do. Right. And so we're in California, so they can't go back to school. We could talk about that later. But it sucks. It's terrible. And so the other day, Laura and I were a little frustrated that he hadn't been doing his chores and hadn't been following through on a few things we asked him to do. And I gave him some difficult feedback and he was like crushed.
Yeah.
And Laura and I were like, what's wrong? And he goes, why haven't you guys told me this?
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
wow.
like, you could tell me this. Mm. All I've been hearing about what a great kid I am. And suddenly you're mad that I haven't been doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And we'd been coddling him during COVID and, oh gosh, this is hard and high school and all this other stuff. And he's like, I'd prefer to know that you think I'm not doing a good job rather than you tell me what a great kid I am and then suddenly be frustrated.
Right.
Exactly. Well,
and this is what I think the problem is. People think it's a binary decision. Either I don't tell them the truth, or I'm a meanie, frustrated person, manager, friend.
Exactly.
And it's like the middle part is what where we need more people to kindly and calmly and directly have the courage to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And to say what's on their mind and to prompt conversations that need to happen. You know, when we talked about sports and how this plays out, like when in Little League and those sort of things, it's like you don't have to be the coach that's like, hey, everybody did great today, or the coach that is smacking the helmets after a loss.
Right.
You know, it's like what you need is someone to come up to you and say, hey, here's how you can improve and here's how you can do better. And I'm saying this because I care about you and that I love you. And far too often we try to avoid the pain and we change the language. We try to be less combative or whatever it is. And even changing the language is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like say the truth, say it directly so that we're all on the same page and let's all benefit from that.
You know, I think in our society today, we don't say difficult things to one another directly in our close relationships. And then we say really mean things in public.
Absolutely. When you're behind a computer screen or a phone, people are more likely. And that's not what we're talking about, because I think that's more inciting, like trying to get a rise out of someone versus the truth. But they are more willing to say something that they're unwilling to say. And to be clear and fair, a lot of people that are listening to this work in big corporate environments where they try to sanitize what
everything
you can say and can't say. And we even got an email from a listener who had listened to a previous podcast around the title was, that's not good enough.
Right. And we said, people should say that more to each other on Teams. You say, hey, Chris, that's not good enough.
Right. Right.
And the response was interesting because he thought the content of the conversation was really valuable and sent it to his team. And the team thought it was too harsh of a phrase. So they actually did a whole exercise where they tried to think of another phrase that would substitute for that, that wasn't quite as in your face or something, which is I have empathy for and get. And then also it's frustrating because we want to get to the place where we can have kind, direct conversation with each other. We're not doing each other any favors by sanitizing some of that language.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is because of the desire to sanitize and make everything comfortable and easy, this is why people don't grow, because
I know
growth always comes through
discomfort,
yeah, and tension and
stretching.
And that's just,
and apologizing, saying I went too far.
Yeah, exactly. And so that it's, you know, I think the motivation you mentioned earlier, Cody, about it has to come from, I really care about you.
Right.
And so when you look at somebody and you're about to give them feedback, if you really care about them, you have to go there. You don't have a choice, because to withhold means I don't really care about your success.
I really wish we'd say, I was really mean today. Oh, what'd you do? I didn't tell somebody
the truth.
I didn't
say anything.
Right. Yeah. But when you say we really have to care about each other, I think that that's the message here too, is this is caring. And Pat, if you and I tried to have the conversation that we had 3 days ago without the 100 other conversations that we've had leading up to that, we wouldn't have gotten through it. Like literally, we came in this morning and I was like, hey, Pat, I'm feeling great. I love you. I love being here. This is great. You know,
you just said the word. I just realized the problem is, this is going to sound so soft, but it's so true. There's not enough love.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, yeah, there's not enough love in the world, in the workplace, in the world in general. Because if you love somebody, you will disagree with them, even if it means you're frustrated with one another.
Right.
But you can't love somebody and punch them in the face or throw something at them
or
scream at them in a cruel way. And so the problem is we think it's love to withhold honest debate and conversation. That's not love.
That's not love.
And so then everything gets thrown off.
Yeah.
You know, I was just with some executives yesterday, and it's the CEO of a big company and two of his top people, and they want to work better together. And one of the things I said is, what's going to happen is the day that you guys can say to one another, I didn't like that you did that, and it frustrates me, or that made me feel bad, and that you can go, thank you for telling me, that's when you'll know. Mm-hmm. So we did this really quick exercise where we just went around and said, you two tell him what you like about him. Now, you two tell him what you don't. At the end of every time they told him what he did that frustrated them, they were like, thank you for that.
Right.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were genuinely like appreciative. Like, I can't believe you just told me that. That is great.
Yeah. I think you're right. It is love, which reminds me how much my wife must really love me.
It's true though. It's true.
It's true.
There's tons of room for grace in here too, but it does need to compare to this. So what we want to say to people is, I think if people knew, if you said to somebody, if you had a little angel on your shoulder and you were like, tell this person the truth, and you were like coming up with all these reasons, I'm too busy, I don't want to do, and they said, don't be a coward.
Yeah.
You go, you're right, I won't be a coward.
Right.
Yep.
Love them. I think then we would probably do this more, and everything changes.
Absolutely.
Everything changes.
Yep.
So that's our podcast, Don't Be a Coward. Hey, quick commercial, as we always do. We have 2 weeks till we're launching our new program called Kappa Pro.
Kappa Pro.
Which you're in charge of, Chris.
I'm in charge of. And this is very exciting. I think one of the most exciting things about this, not only are we, for the first time ever, actually providing direct training and support to consultants and practitioners on...
Yeah, internal HR and OT
internal
people.
HR on all of the stuff that you've been doing for the last 23 years. But this is also a wildly international group. I mean, there are members right now who've already started joining, who are coming from every corner of the earth. And to think that there's this many people all over the world who are saying, I actually want to be a part of this movement. I want to be a part of helping teams be more effective, overcome dysfunction. Actually, related to this topic, I want to help leaders be able to have less cowardice in their leadership and be able to address issues. This is a big deal.
And you know, we're going to have a special podcast just for them, just for practitioners. We're going to talk about what it's like to consult internal to your organization or to clients, how to start a practice, how to make the five dysfunctions come alive, how to do meetings, all of that kind of stuff.
That's right.
And we're recording videos, lots of content. So
it's going to be big. And if you want more information, you can go to tablegroup.com/KappaPro, or you can email us at KappaPro@tablegroup.com. And you know, this is an interesting time. We're working with everybody on how to be a part of this, because it does cost money, but we're working with everybody on this. And September 2nd is our big event. So we're like, you know what? We'll work with you. We'll figure out how to work all that stuff out. Just if it's the right thing, let's get you in and get you being a part of it.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things we're most excited about.
Yeah.
We've got some other exciting things coming up where we'll be doing special podcasts about that. But for now, we're going to bring this to a close. Cody, Chris, Tracy, thank you. Everybody out, go out there and have interpersonal courage, and God bless.